Gospel according to Luke. I would like us to read from the chapter 7, from the verse number 36, a few verses. And while you're looking for the page, I would like to share a few words that from the verse number 36 to the verse, or through to the verse number 39, we have the description of what happened, and then from the verse number 40, practically to the end of this chapter, is a conversation, the words of our Lord concerning the thing that happened there. So, if we are ready, let us read from the verse number 36, Luke chapter 7. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is the Lord, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed him with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. These are the few verses that I desired that we read first for the beginning of our afternoon meditation on the Word of God. And before we get into the sharing of the Scripture, I would like us to take a moment to look up to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, as we look into these verses that we are reading and meditating upon, we pray, O Father, that Thou guide us and protect us, Thou lead us and teach us. In just the few verses that we read, we can see that a man can look at the result of Thy grace as disgrace. And we see, O Heavenly Father, that Thou art seeing the things in a different way. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou give us eyes that see the way Thou seest. And Thou grant us mind that understands the way Thou art teaching. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou give us a heart that would rejoice in Thy joy and that would be sad by the sad state of human heart apart from the Savior. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray today that Thou grant us, as we walk through the Scripture, that we walk with the greatest teacher of all teachers, our blessed Redeemer. Gracious Lord, as Thou art healing, as Thou art proclaiming peace, we pray that our hearts also may be open for Thy peace, and our souls also be inclined toward Thy healing. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we all need daily Thy forgiveness, Thy restoration, Thy goodness and Thy mercy, O Lord. We see that here a woman came to the same place where the Savior was. And she was known as a sinner. Perhaps she was known as a great sinner. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we know that all the others were sinners. Thy word is revealing that there is not one just, one holy, one righteous apart from Thee. That we have no power to make ourselves righteous and holy. And yet, O Heavenly Father, Thou art revealing to us that Thou art bringing the souls to the feet of the Savior, and that through Him Thou art accepting sinners who repent and turn unto Thee in sincerity of their hearts, trusting in the merit of the Lord Jesus. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that we may never forget that Thou art the one, the only one, mighty and gracious to purge our sins. That Thou hast sent Thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring Thy goodness and Thy mercy to us, and to deliver us from the mud of our sin, from the darkness of our ignorance, from the shackles of our ignorance. Gracious Lord, our mighty God, we pray that Thou bestow upon us anew the purity, the holiness, the righteousness of the Lamb of God. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou lead us and teach us, watch over us and protect us. Thou make us Thine own and keep us in Thy grace. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, as we find comfort in Thy goodness and mercy, as we trust in the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou give us a heart rejoicing in every soul that is coming to Thee. And trusting in Thy goodness and mercy, O Lord, that Thou still today art cleansing, delivering, saving everyone who would surrender their whole life to the Savior. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we also pray that Thou reveal to us all those hidden things, all the secrets of our heart and mind that even we ourselves either have forgotten or are not aware of. Every spot that is not pleasing Thee, that is not fully and wholly Thine. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that Thou purify our thinking, emotions, affections. That Thou, O Heavenly Father, sanctify our souls by the abiding presence and lasting Lordship of Thy Holy Spirit in our hearts. O gracious Lord, our mighty God, we pray that we may walk in such a way as to follow Thee day by day, and that we may also hear Thy words. Thy faith hath saved Thee, go in peace. Gracious Lord, our mighty God, we bring our petitions to the feet of the Savior. And we trust, O Heavenly Father, that every offering in Christ Jesus is acceptable unto Thee, for Thou art the Father of all mercies. Goodness and grace is Thy nature, O Lord. Thou art just God and the Savior. And we thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy, O Father. Amen.
I think that it is very interesting and also important to notice that this Pharisee desired the Lord to be his guest. This Pharisee did not act as an enemy. And the Lord answered to this apparently friendly and kind invitation. And the Lord went in to enjoy the hospitality of this Pharisee. The Lord did not say, just because this man is a Pharisee, so many Pharisees are against the gospel, I will not have any contact or anything to do with this Pharisee. The Lord went in and sat down to meet. So everything proceeded apparently in a good, friendly, kind, mutually respectful manner. But then something happened. We have this verse 37, behold, taking our attention, requiring that we focus on something that is taking place. As they were sitting or as they were reclined around the table, there comes a woman. That woman is known to be a sinner. Apparently, there is a lot of ignorance in this place. They know this woman as a sinner. Do they know themselves to be sinners? That is a question that each one of them should ask themselves. The residents of that place, that city. When this woman, known as a sinner, and she herself apparently knew that she was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment, something very costly, very precious, something that is saved, a keepsake for special occasions. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. Now this woman standing by the group of people reclined around the table is very visible. She is very exposed. And then she stooped down. She began to wash his feet with her tears. And did wipe the feet of the Lord with her hairs, of her the hair of her head. And then she kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. She did not only expose herself, she also acknowledged by her manners and by her deeds that she highly esteemed this prophet of Nazareth. She accepted that embarrassment. She accepted that humiliation. This Pharisee probably was not the only Pharisee. He was the hosting Pharisee, and there could have been other Pharisees visiting. But whatever the case was, when the woman came in and did what she did, this Pharisee is thinking something, but he is not saying anything, he is not doing anything. It's a typical faith of Pharisees. Faith without action. Faith without clear expression. And many things that the people do according to their social status, according to their sectarian views and beliefs, according to their habits and traditions, do not have clear expression. If you ask why do you do what you do, often you will get an answer, well, it always has been like that, or that's how we do. But why? Hardly anyone knows why. It turns out to be similar to what the Lord Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. Ye know not what ye pray for. Ye know not what ye believe. The salvation comes through the Jews. Now when the Lord said, we know what we pray for, we know what we believe, he was talking about the prophets, the patriarchs, the faithful ones, not necessarily about the Pharisees that also did not know what they believed. When the Pharisee, which had given the Lord, which invited the Lord to this meal, saw that he is thinking, he's talking to himself, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. Was he right? Well, it's easy for us. We know that he was wrong. But at that time, how could another Pharisee watching it, observing everything, know if it's right or wrong what the first Pharisee is saying? You see, many of the things that the Lord said were in a similar situation already said or done, proclaimed by other witnesses, other prophets that were here on earth, among the people of the Jews, among the Hebrews, in the preceding centuries, preceding years. We remember when Elisha the prophet was in his home or in his place where he resided, and the woman from Shunem whose child died came to Elisha. And as she was coming, still being in a certain distance, Elisha noticed, and he said to Gehaziah, his helper, his disciple, assistant, servant, said, "There comes that Shunammite woman. Go and meet her and ask her, is everything in good order?" And so he did, but the woman would not talk much with Gehaziah. Apparently, she had a very good impression who and what quality of man Gehaziah was. But when she came to Elisha, she stooped down to the ground and she embraced his feet. Now that was not a traditional formal greeting of a woman to a prophet. And Gehaziah, the servant of Elisha, came closer to move her away from Elisha. It's not customary, it's not in order that an unrelated woman would touch physically a prophet. What did Elisha say? "Leave her alone." Elisha did not say, "Oh, that's all right. Men and women can hug anytime." No, that was not his teaching. That was not his message. He explained, "Leave her alone. In her touch, touching my feet or hugging, embracing my feet, she is not displaying any sinful intention, any sinful lust." Elisha said to Gehaziah, "Leave her alone. Her soul is in grief, but the Lord has not revealed that to me before." So, this Pharisee, knowing the scripture, if he was not so quick to judge and to condemn, could have understood that the Lord has pure and holy reason for suffering this woman to do what she did, to wash the Lord's feet with her tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head. And if he could understand that, if he was willing and open to understand that, he could have understood also that this woman, though she was a sinner, at this time, at this moment, is not doing anything sinful. What was the reason? What was the way of thinking of this Pharisee? If a sinner, being an unclean person, is touching a holy person, that holy person will be defiled. But the answer of the Lord proves the opposite. In the verse number 40 we read, "Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on." I don't know for sure. I might be wrong. But my feeling, my impression is that in the beginning of this conversation, there is a tenderness, there is a kindness, there is understanding, mutual respect still. Or they are talking, the Lord is talking kindly and respectfully, and Simon is still answering as he would be talking to the Lord before this happened. So on the part of Simon, there could have been some pretense, some imitation of something that already is gone. The moment the Simon realized that the Lord is not going to resist the touch of a sinful woman on his feet. Simon lost his respect for the Lord. What did he say? This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of a woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. Did Simon have the same disrespect for Elisha, the prophet? No, he wouldn't dare to do that. But Simon had a different judgment. If my holy brotherhood of Pharisees did accept Elisha as the holy prophet, he is holy no matter what. But if this prophet of Nazareth is not fitting into our mode of holiness, he is not a prophet. So it's not the word of God that is channeling and directing the thinking and the steps of Simon the Pharisee. No, it's the brotherhood of Pharisees. Can we see how quickly godliness in form, but not in essence, become idolatry? So the Lord started a conversation. There was a silence for a time. All they could see, a weeping woman washing the feet of the Lord. But then the Lord answered. What did he answer to? Simon didn't say anything, not in the hearing of the other people. He was only thinking. He was talking to himself. The Lord is answering to his thoughts. And the Lord said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. In today's language, we would probably say, Simon, I'd like to tell you something. And Simon answered, Master, say, be free. And the Lord, the greatest story teller in the whole scripture, started talking. A very simple story. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, a small amount, and the other a great amount, and the other 50, much smaller amount. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly, willingly, forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that the one to whom he forgave most. And the Lord answered to him, Thou hast rightly judged. Maybe at this moment Simon was complimented. Maybe he was pleased that his guest is complimenting Simon's answer. But then the Lord turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou, Simon, gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And the Lord turned to the woman again and said, Thy sins are forgiven. Now these words echoed in that room as the most beautiful heavenly harmony, the sweetest music that a sinner can hear. But they also pricked the proud heart of the other Pharisees. They that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" Now here the Lord did not use the words that would clearly indicate, "I, Jesus of Nazareth, forgive thy sinful woman's sins." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Thy sins are forgiven." The Lord Jesus Christ did not at this moment indicate who is the one that forgives the sins. He only proclaimed forgiveness of sins. Is this first time that the Pharisees ever heard a man announcing, proclaiming, confirming the forgiveness of sins? Every Sabbath day and many days in between, the priests in the temple would pronounce forgiveness of sins upon those who offered sacrifices for sins. That was the law. The law proclaimed and said, after that sacrifice, he will be forgiven. She will be forgiven. We also have other cases. Might take as an example what first came to my mind. The prophet came to the King David to tell him about the rich man that had many sheep and the poor man that had only one sheep, and the visitor that came, and the rich man was so compassionate. He didn't take any of his sheep. But he was so cruel that he took the one single sheep that the poor man had. And David jumped from his throne and said, "Death to this man." And the prophet said, "You are the one." And when David said, "I sinned to the Lord," the prophet said to David, "And the Lord has passed thy sin by thee. Thou shalt not die." Oh, how good that the Pharisees were not there around the throne of David and around that prophet to say, "Who is this prophet to proclaim the forgiveness of sins?" But they were here. And the Lord, bringing the voice of the truth from the Father, was speaking against the voice of deception of the Pharisees. The Lord did not answer to these people, but he did answer to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." I cannot imagine anything less than a real joy ringing in the heart of this woman when the Lord said, "Wherefore I say unto thee, Simon, her sins," this woman's sins, there are many, no question about that, "but as many as there be, they are forgiven." But then after that first joy of that realization that the goodness and mercy of God has been proclaimed upon her, the Lord is answering in this verse number 50. "Go in peace. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." And in the life of a sincere and faithful believer, the true follower and disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not always the excitement and the sheer joy, but there remaineth a peace, a reliance upon the grace and goodness of the Lord, and a desire to strive to be faithful to Him. But now, since we also are endangered to be or to become or to remain Pharisees in thinking, in understanding or misunderstanding, I would like us to look a little bit deeper or with more diligence into these verses. Verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, the Lord talking to Simon, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. I have many questions about this verse. Were the sins of this woman forgiven because she loved much? Can a sinner know how to love with true love? Here we see that when this woman realized that he is the Lord Jesus Christ, he is proclaiming the word of God, the truth, and living that word of God, she wept over his feet. Because the steps so far in her life, the steps of this woman, were so different than the steps of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yet there was something in common. This woman as a sinner was despised by the Pharisees, and the Lord, the righteous man, was despised by the Pharisees. Why was the Lord despised? He was not a sinner. But he came down to take our sins upon himself. And the people that trusted in their own righteousness, that did not realize their need of a sin bearer, they despised him. And by that, they indicated they don't believe the word of God, they believe in the deception of Satan. But because of their pride and their self-esteem, they could not realize their foolishness. This woman, I'm very confident, never washed the feet of a Pharisee, never wept over his feet. She never had that realization before, that finally there is a righteous man, a godly man, and he is not here to push the sinners deeper into their sin and despair, but to bring them out. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. That's the message, not only proclaimed by the Lord Jesus Christ, but the message that radiated from his manners, his behavior, his deeds. The message that was contained in his words. When the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in the beginning of his teaching, his public ministry, when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand," what is he saying? Turn to the Lord, for it is good to trust the Lord. He is gracious and merciful, and he forgives without limits. But then we see here, the Lord is saying, because her sins are forgiven, she loved so much. The great love and gratitude indicates full forgiveness received in the heart of this soul, this woman. But now, when we look in the rest of this verse 47, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. What is now little? If much is full forgiveness, what is less than that? And who is the one that gives incomplete forgiveness? it certainly cannot be God. I don't remember ever seeing in the scripture, and if I am wrong, hopefully someday somebody will show me that and reveal that to me. That it's possible that God is giving partial forgiveness. I have not found that in the scripture. Not yet. And somehow I think I won't find it. I just believe it's not there. God can delay the judgment, but partial forgiveness, limited peace, incomplete joy, those are the things that are unfamiliar, unknown in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To whom little is forgiven, what is little? Well, I will share my thought with you, and you listen and judge, and see if the Lord is revealing that same understanding to you or not. When we take the ordinances of the Lord as formalities, when we think that our sins are paid by the value of a sacrifice like calf or lamb or goat, that's how much we are forgiven. When we think that by our repentance and confession we earn the forgiveness of sins, that's how much we are forgiven. It's social forgiveness. It does not go deep into the heart. It's only on the surface. Yes, this Simon the Pharisee, he was a holy and righteous man by the standard of the Pharisees. But in no way was he holy and free and saved and delivered by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other way of salvation. There is no other means of forgiveness, deliverance. So this little forgiveness, or being a little forgiven, is as much as the people can give to a man. But much is the fullness of the forgiveness that only God can give, and only through the Lord Jesus Christ, and only to those that receive that with faith and gratitude. I think that's the meaning of this story, or at least part of the meaning, and I believe that we could probably find much more in this chapter or in this passage if we go word by word. We can see that in the verse number 43, the Lord said to Simon, "Thou hast rightly judged." We can see that those that have partial forgiveness, those that have social conversion, they also can judge rightly in some things. But they also judge very wrongly in the most important things. There is another deep and perhaps not visible on the surface truth, the fact. I don't think that this woman completely, clearly understood the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that she received much more by faith than by understanding. Perhaps she received much more by feeling than by plain understanding of the Word of God. Why do I say that? Because I already mentioned before that the Lord Jesus Christ was despised by the Pharisees because he was righteous. This woman was despised because she was a known sinner. And both of them, the Lord and this sinful woman, were despised by the hidden sinners that were so proud, because they successfully, at least they thought so, were hiding their sins. They were hiding their sins so well that in a long time they themselves convinced themselves that they are righteous. In the story that the Lord Jesus Christ said about two men entering into the temple or synagogue or a place for prayer, in that story we see that that Pharisee turned to the Lord in his prayer and he said, "I praise thee, Lord God. I am so good. I am so good. I am so good." And he remained as good as he was before. But that goodness is very bad. But the one that came to the Lord and said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," he went to his house justified, delivered, forgiven. Why? Because the wisdom is justified by her children. In what way the children of wisdom justify that wisdom? By acknowledging that wisdom is wise and I am not. And I can only learn wisdom from that wisdom. The children of the wisdom follow wisdom and do what is right. And those that are against the wisdom of God are the children of deception. So, I think it's a wonderful thing to hear the Lord saying to this woman, "Thy sins are forgiven." Why did he say it? Why was it necessary that the Lord say in the presence of all the people there, "Thy sins are forgiven"? He didn't say to the others, "Her sins are forgiven." No, he turned to her. It was a personal testimony straight to her heart, to her soul. But it was necessary that she knows that the Lord has proclaimed the word of God, "Thy sins are forgiven." How can we hear the same word of the Lord today? The Lord is not among us in the flesh. We cannot wash His feet with our tears. Well, perhaps we can recall that the Lord said to those whom He placed on the right hand side, "When you did something to the least one that believed in me, you did it unto me." Well, that's one way of understanding that, and I think it can be very good. The other one is understanding, or the other side of that is understanding the Word of God. What the Lord said in His Word, "If anyone come unto me, I will in no wise cast him or her out." That's His Word. And that Word is loud and clear. And everyone who come unto Him should believe that. Believe that. Take that word. Cling to that word. And trust the Lord. And be forgiven, not a little, but much. Completely forgiven. When the Lord said to this woman, "Thy sins are forgiven," He did not leave any sin out. And knowing that, thy faith has saved thee. Who did save her? Can faith alone save this woman? Faith in Christ saved thee. It's not our faith in Christ that saves us. It's Him saving us. But the only way we can receive that salvation and that awareness of His great goodness and mercy is through faith. We believe it. Now, thinking back again on Simon the Pharisee, we don't know what happened. What was the end of Simon's journey? What was his destiny? But this experience could have been an enlightenment to him. He could have remembered the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Simon could have remembered the example of this sinful woman and how she was forgiven all of her sins. And if Simon learned something from that, and if Simon turned to the Lord to seek God's will and to seek His mercy and His grace, and not to trust in his own righteousness, the same could have been applied to Simon. If anyone come to the Lord will not cast him out. And the intention or the direction, the reason why these words were shared with Simon, why did the Lord allow this to happen in Simon's home, before Simon's very eyes, to see the goodness and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Heavenly Father forgiving sins to this sinful woman. I believe the direction of that was to lead Simon to the same saving faith and to the same Savior. And as the sins of this woman were not too great for the Savior to save her, so the sins of Simon the Pharisee would not be too great for the Savior to save him if he also come to the Savior. There is no sin of any man greater than the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But there is one that will not be forgiven when we stubbornly, persistently reject the grace of God, despise the word of God, and cleave to our sins, and cleave to Satan. We will share the consequences of our sins and the destiny of Satan himself through that endless eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ has given us these words that we may know there is a way, there is a door, there is a Savior. All that believe in Him, all that are delivered by Him should share that gospel and that Savior with everyone else around.